Hey, you guys, time once again for Flickers of Fear. Now, I'm not sure how exactly I first heard about this Japanese film, which is just called House, or Houseu, from 1977. I think it was probably on one of those lists of like, hey, look at all these crazy horror movies you need to see, like, before you die, or something like that. I feel like I probably saw it on one of those, and I was like, huh, that sounds weird and interesting. So yeah, I think that's probably where I first heard of it. Now, I should note too that this movie also started garnering like a much bigger cult following, probably around 2009, I think it was, because the distribution rights for it got picked up by Janus Films, and then the movie got released as part of Janus Films' like Eclipse line, which is kind of like, I think it's like a subset of Criterion Collection, but it's like more for weird cult movies. And then, like, after that came out, there was a lot of clamor for it to, like, show on the big screen. So they actually, like, toured it around the United States, I believe in 2009, 2010, something like that, in, like, larger cities and in theaters, and, like, a lot of people went to see it, so it kind of, like, got a much bigger cult following from then. So House is one of those movies that's really kind of hard to classify. It isn't really a horror movie, per se, although it is about a haunted house and has, like, buckets of gore, like, particularly in the third act. And, I mean, I guess maybe it's, like, sort of a comedy, like a horror comedy, I guess. The comedy is kind of bizarre and sort of juvenile. I will say that the acting is kind of awful. The special effects are laughably amateurish, like, even for 1977. But it's framed in such a way that all of these supposed negatives actually sort of, like, work in its favor, if that makes any sense. It's just a very odd, childlike, very kinetically edited little goofball of a movie where pretty much every single possible thing, like, was just tossed at the wall to see what would stick. You know what I mean? It seems kind of like that. So, like, imagine if Sam Raimi was a slightly disturbed and maybe faintly horny 8-9-year-old boy who was all coked up on, like, Lick-A-Maid or something, had access to really shitty 1970s-era blue screen effects, and attempted to make the most ridiculous live-action cartoon imaginable, like, within those limitations. And you might sort of get an idea of what you're dealing with here, like, what this movie is like. I'm not really sure yet if I enjoyed this movie or not, to be honest. It's actually pretty entertaining just for how, like, bafflingly batshit it is. But it seems like it was never really intended to be taken seriously, either as a comedy or as a horror film. So, you know, whatever. Like, do with that what you will. Now, how this movie was conceived goes maybe part of the way toward explaining the final product, though admittedly, there's still plenty of what-the-fuckery to be had. So in 1975, a filmmaker named Nobuhiko Obayashi, who was at that point, like, mostly known for making commercials and doing, like, experimental films, he gets approached by Toho Studios, you know, who obviously made all those kaiju movies and stuff like that. And they asked him to come up with something similar to Steven Spielberg's massively successful blockbuster Jaws, which had just come out that year. Now, Obayashi, who had either never seen Jaws or decided he was just going to do whatever the fuck he wanted, regardless, consulted his then preteen daughter, Chigumi, for ideas about what this movie should be like. So a few of the ideas that she came up with included, let's have a house that eats girls. Let's have someone getting killed by falling mattresses. Let's have a piano eat someone's fingers, like the piano keys eat someone's fingers. Let's have a watermelon that turns into a severed head. These were, like, some of the things she came up with. All of these ideas, I should note, made it into the final film. Now, once the script was finished, nobody working at Toho wanted to direct it because they thought it was nonsensical, which they're probably right about, and it would probably ruin their careers. So Obayashi kind of like shrugs and is like, whatevs, I'll do it. So he takes over to direct it, even though he didn't really work for Toho. I guess they had kind of like more of a contract thing where they had all the guys that worked under things. So he didn't work there, but they were like, okay, whatever. None of us want to do it, so you do it. Now, when he was casting the film, he just chose like a bunch of teenage models that had been in some of his commercials, almost none of whom had any acting experience whatsoever. Now, he did do the thing where, I mean, I guess he wanted to class up the joint some, so he brought in a more veteran actress whose name was Yoko Minamida, who had a very substantial filmography going all the way, I think, back to 1952, and he brought her in to play the villain. So the story of the movie, such as it is, has to do with a group of seven teenage girls whose names are all very obvious markers of their defining personality traits. So you got Gorgeous, who's gorgeous, and she's also really fashionable, and she likes makeup, all that kind of stuff. You got Kung Fu, who is the strong athletic one who, duh, like, knows Kung Fu. You got Fantasy, who's always daydreaming. You got Melody, who's like the musical one, the musical prodigy. You got Sweet, who is the sweet one, I guess. I don't know. She has like the least amount of like personality of all the other ones. You got Prof, who's the smart one, who has glasses, obviously, and can't see without them. Very, very Velma. And you got Mac, who is the fat one who's always eating. And by fat, I mean Japanese fat, which actually translates to still very thin, but with a slightly rounder face than any of the other girls. So, and they just like, they constantly like tease her the whole time. It was just kind of like, she's like the chick from Grease, you know, like the dark hair girl that they were always like, that was always like eating Twinkies and all that other kind of stuff. But, and they were always like saying that she was fat because they always put her like in these dumpy clothes. But then like when you see her at the end, she's totally not fat. She's like pretty much the same size as all the other ones. It's kind of like that. So apparently all these girls, they all go to school together, and usually over summer vacation, they usually go to some camp or some kind of shit. I don't know. So they usually do that. And their teacher, Mr. Togo, or one of the teachers at the school, I guess, Mr. Togo, actually Sweet has a crush on him. It's a little weird. And they, I guess it's either his ranch or he goes with them or something. I wasn't real clear on like what the situation was. But this year in particular, Mr. Togo said, oh, my sister had a baby, and so you guys can't come because, you know, family shit or whatever. So the girls have to go someplace else for summer vacation instead. So Gorgeous, who's, it's really funny, like, referring to her like that, but that's her name. That's her name. I don't think they give her any other names. None of the girls have any other names, I don't think. That's just what their names are. So Gorgeous has, I mean, her dad is like super, super rich. He like works in the film industry. And they live in this like really big, beautiful house. And he has been in Italy working on a film. I guess he does film score because he says something about Ennio Morricone at one point. So yeah, so he's doing that. Now he's just come home from Italy, and he's brought with him his new fiance, who Gorgeous has never met, who's like half his age. And Gorgeous is pretty put out by this, because basically dad's like, hey, this is going to be your new mom, and who you never met before. And she's just like, fuck that noise. So what she decides to do, she's like, well, I'm not going on vacation with you motherfuckers then, because I don't even know this bitch. So she doesn't say that, but you know what I mean? That's kind of like the attitude. So she's like, I'm going to write to my aunt, Auntie, who you find out she actually hasn't seen in 10 years. And she's basically like, well, can me and my friends like come and stay at your house for the summer? She lives like somewhere really far away, like in some remote house or something. So Auntie writes back to her, like writes her a letter. And it's like, oh, I'm so glad you're coming. Like, I've been waiting for you for years and years, which, like I said, that doesn't sound creepy at all. Also, during this time, there's this really adorable, fluffy, white kitty cat. Oh my god, she's such a floof. It's, like, so cute. The cat's name is Blanche, and the cat arrives and starts hanging out with Gorgeous and, like, going everywhere with her, so there's that. So, immediately, you're just kind of like, this cat's a witch's familiar. You know what I mean? It's just like, I've seen enough of these kind of movies to know what's going on. So all of the girls are going to go to the auntie's house for the summer. So after some kind of like silly shenanigans that take place on the way there, like there's some random animation, there's like this really weird big fat watermelon salesman who, I don't know, there's like a whole situation there. But then after all that, like the girls finally get to Auntie's remote house. Now, Auntie seems nice enough. She's, like, a little bit older, or that's clearly a younger woman that they're trying to make look older, like she's got a gray wig and stuff. She's confined to a wheelchair, and she's kind of lamenting, like, how lonely she is. It's like, oh, I've been waiting for you, gorgeous, for so long. I was so happy to get your letter and blah, blah, blah. But she's, like, very welcoming. All the girls immediately get there, and it's like, oh, we're going to help you out. We're going to clean your house, and we're going to do this and that. I'm like, bitch, you say my house is dirty just because I'm in a wheelchair? But you know what I mean? I'm just, like, going off on fucking tangents. But here's the weird thing. So pretty much the minute that the girls like walk into the house, crystals, like these kind of bullet shaped crystal things, like start flying off the chandelier and impaling various things. Like Kung Fu kicks one of them out of the way. Her name's Kung Fu. I know I have to keep like reminding you of that. That's the girl's name. Yeah. So that pretty much happens. And I'm just kind of like, okay, so that's how things are in their house. I mean, you know, there's like, again, there's some witchery afoot. Like you kind of suspected that because of the whole cat situation. But if you had any doubt, now you don't, because you know, like fucking magical chandelier crystals that are flying around impaling everything. So, you know, there you go. And all the girls are just kind of like, huh, well, that'll happen. They're just very laissez-faire about it. It's very funny. So from there on out, though, the girls start to mysteriously disappear one by one. Mac, the fat one, she's the first one to vanish. She goes out in the courtyard. She had bought a watermelon from the weird watermelon salesman, like, on the way there. And so there's this whole thing about, like, Auntie says, oh, well, she has a refrigerator, but it doesn't work. Like, it's out of order, she says. So she's like, well, why don't you take the watermelon and put it down in the well, because there's, like, really cold water down there, and it'll keep it cold because the refrigerator doesn't work. So I'm like, okay, that's how you want to do it. So they have take this watermelon, they tie it to a rope, and they drop it down into the well. So later on, Mac goes out to get it, because they're like, oh, hey, dessert time, so it's time for the watermelon. And she goes out there to get it, and then she doesn't come back. So Fantasy goes out to look for her, but then when she pulls up the rope that had the watermelon attached to the end, that's not a watermelon on the end of the rope anymore. It's actually Mac's severed head at the end of the rope. The head kind of, like, makes a weird face and has fangs, maybe, and then, like, it kind of flies around and bites Fantasy on the ass. And no, I'm not making that up. That actually does happen in the movie. So Fantasy tells the other girls about this, but when they all go out to check, the head is just a melon again, and they all tease Fantasy for being, you know, Fantasy prone, which, I mean, the name's right there on the tin, so I don't really know what they expected from her, but okay. So then later on, as it goes on, this is kind of like I said, these girls are just like walking around in what is essentially like a weird, like, Pee-wee's Playhouse, except with murder. So Sweet, one of the other girls, she gets assaulted by falling futons at one stage. And when the other girls dig through the pile of futons and blankets and shit, like looking for her, all they find is all her clothes. And they're like, oh, she must have stripped. And then like one of the girls like picks up her panties and like sniffs them, and then they're like making a joke about something smells funny in here. So I'm just like, really? I'm like, this really, I was like, did that just happen? Did that girl just sniff her friend's panties? And I'm like, yeah, that just happened. Oh my god. Yeah, so there was that whole thing. It's a little weird. So then there's a scene later too where Melody is playing the piano, like, to cheer, because like I said, it's Melody, so she's like the musical prodigy or whatever. So they're like, hey Melody, why don't you play the piano to like cheer everybody up because of all this like weird haunting shit that's going on. And while she's doing it, like, the keys like eat her fingers, and she's like okay with it at first. She's like, look, my fingers are gone, like they ate my fingers. And then like it eats her whole hand, and then the piano like eats the rest of her, and then like her various body parts, like a leg and an arm and stuff, are like kind of hanging out, like flopping around like outside of the thing, and like her head, and she's just kind of like smiling about it like it's the coolest thing ever. And then like her detached fingers are like playing the thing. It's weird. It's real weird. So it's just, you know, the inside of the piano is just like all red. It's just kind of like that solarized looking, that effect. I can't remember what it's called, but you see it in like real shitty, like cheap music videos and kids shows and stuff like that, like from the 70s and early 80s, where everything like looked those super saturated like colors, like solarization, I think they called it. So it looks like that, like on the inside of the piano. Now, among the other weird fucking things that happened in this movie, Kung Fu later gets devoured by a lamp. Or I guess it's not a lamp. It's kind of like a hanging. It's not a chandelier exactly, but it's just kind of like a hanging light fixture. Gorgeous at some point goes into a mirror dimension. There's like a blood flood, like blood floods through the house and ends up like dissolving Prof, the smart one, who by the way is naked when all this happens because reasons. Auntie also has, remember that broken fridge I was talking about earlier? The reason she didn't want anybody going in there was because the refrigerator is actually like a secret passage. But then when they open it later, like it looks like a normal refrigerator. So if she's can like witchy powers and like make it look like a normal refrigerator, why didn't she want them looking in there? I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. Oh, and also like toward the end, Mr. Togo like is coming out there to see them, and he gets scared at the watermelon salesman place, and he turns into a pile of bananas. So there's that. None of it really makes the slightest lick of sense. But it sort of works, I have to say, like in an acid trippy, fever dreamy kind of way. Since the house itself is kind of established as a space where absolutely anything can and does happen, it's sort of like a fun house type of thing. And like I said, it's like, it seemed like they didn't really think about, you know, having any kind of like plot structure. They're just kind of like, well, they're all going to go to this house, and then like just the craziest shit we can imagine is going to happen. Almost like I said, it's almost kind of like you can tell that like a kid conceived this, you know what I'm saying? Just like, oh, and then she goes in this room and then like a piano eats her, you know what I mean? It's just, it doesn't make any sense, but it's not really meant to, you know what I'm saying? Now, believe it or not, there is kind of sort of a story behind Auntie and behind what the deal with the house, well, not so much the house, but kind of more about Auntie, I guess. So it turns out that Auntie back in the day used to be engaged to this handsome young fella who went off to fight in World War II, and he promised her that he would return to her. But he never did, presumably because he was killed in the war. But Auntie was convinced that because he had promised, then he was absolutely going to come back, and all she had to do was wait for him. Now, she died while she was still waiting. And I guess her bitterness or whatever, or it was some kind of like curse or spell or something where, you know, she was like waiting forever. But whatever it was, it essentially like turned her into this evil ghost witch type of being who gains energy from eating unmarried young girls who wander into her orbit, because naturally. Also, her powers come from the cat, I think. I don't know, because there's kind of a whole thing where they're like, we have to kill the cat. That'll like make her and I'm just like, okay, but I don't know. Like I said, don't think about it too hard. I'm thinking about it too hard and it's like giving me a migraine. So yeah, I don't know. Like powers come from the cat. Maybe they don't. I have no idea what's going on. And at one point, like after Gorgeous goes through the mirror, she seems to become, I guess, because she's the ancestor. So she's not just going to be like eaten or whatever, but she goes through the mirror and seems to become like the new incarnation of Auntie. Like she comes out and she's got like the big bridal outfit on and everything. And then I think everybody else dies, like all the other kids, like all the other girls. And at the very end, Gorgeous's hated new potential stepmom, who I had absolutely forgotten existed at this point in the movie because of all the crazy shit that happened. And it was just kind of like, I was like, wait, who's this now? Oh, yeah. She was like in the scene for like 2 minutes at the beginning of the movie. This is the stepmom that she was mad about. Yeah, she turns up at the house for some reason at the end. And then when she gets there, like all the house is all fixed up. Because remember, there was a whole blood flood and like an eating piano and all that other kind of stuff. But it's all fixed up now. But only Gorgeous is there. And she's wearing like a very classic kimono. And basically she's saying, oh, I'm so glad you're here, potential stepmom. I can't remember what her name was. But she's like, oh, the other girls. She's like, where are the other girls at? And she's like, oh, they'll wake up when they're hungry. So you know what I mean? So you're led to presume they all died and are now like evil ghosts too that are like feeding off anybody that comes in the house. I'm guessing. You know what I mean? I'm just like, that's just the impression that I got. So just as you could tell, I'm kind of struggling. Just as this is a very difficult movie to describe, it's also kind of difficult to recommend. Not because it's bad necessarily, but it's one of those movies that you have to have like a certain kind of like mindset and certain kind of proclivities to even like want to watch this in the first place. I mean, by all means, if you're really into weird Japanese movies from the 1970s, you'll probably get a kick out of it. But anybody that isn't versed in this type of real whimsical cinematic quirkiness, like, it's kind of like, oh, it's set up almost like a weird kids show, but then there's like dismemberment and like buckets of blood, and it's just like really gory and stuff like that. It's just very, very bizarre. It's a very, very bizarre juxtaposition. Yeah, so if you're not already kind of like into that kind of shit and you're not kind of willing to meet it on its own terms, then you'll probably have a hard time. You might like lose patience. You know, you won't be able to get past these real janky special effects, even though, you know, the director said that, well, we did it like that on purpose because we wanted to make it look like a kid made it, which, like I said, you know, I was like, yeah, he's just succeeded there. But yeah, and, you know, the acting's very silly. The plot is senseless. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. But all that said, it's actually like a pretty fun little movie for all that. Though I will recommend that you maybe indulge in some adult beverages beforehand, or maybe some chemicals of choice while you're watching it, just in order to get the full experience. I don't know, though. You might want to like take it easy, like too much on the hallucinogens, because this might give you like some really bad. This might set you off on a really bad trip, because there's like some very, very strange imagery in this one. But yeah, it's one of those movies that I feel like if you're into like weird ass cinema, then you should probably see it at least once, because it's pretty out there. It's not the weirdest thing I've ever seen, but it's pretty weird, and it's kind of like fascinating how something like that gets made. So yeah, I don't know, just if you've seen it, like, let me know if you know what I'm talking about. I actually watched it on HBO Max. This actually, like I said, it's, you know, it came out on like subset of like Criterion Collection. So it's in their AMC like classic curated section. So if you want to watch it on there, you can. I'm sure it's streaming elsewhere. But let me know if you've seen it, and we'll have a discussion about it in the comments. And that'll do it for this Flickers of Fear. I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.